Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Charlotte at 6 podcast is presented by Felix Savadas Mercedes-Benz of South Charlotte, Charlotte's premier Mercedes-Benz dealer and the Carolinas' number one volume sales leader. Over 300 new and 200 pre-owned vehicles always available. Visit mbcharlotte.com.
Welcome back on a Monday afternoon here on News Talk 1110, 99.3 FM, WBT. Brett Jensen, Trisha Cotham, otherwise known as B&T, taking you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Telephone numbers if you want to get in, 704-570-1110. You can also follow us on Twitter, at WBT Radio, at Trisha Cotham, T-R-I-C-I-A, and at Brett underscore Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N. Although I find it, most people go, what's the underscore?
Yeah, but isn't that complicated?
It was. The problem was when I just did Brett Jensen, apparently there's like 30 other Brett Jensens on this planet, and one of them had taken it. And then I was like, well, then I'll do Brett dash or hyphen Jensen. That was taken. So I had to go Brett underscore because I didn't want to associate or have someone's like my company name beside me.
Right.
So I just like, all right, we'll do Brett.
Well, there's only one Trisha Cotham. I can tell you that.
Not to be confused with the Patricia Cotham.
Boy, that's the truth. I told you when I went to vote the other day and I checked in and the man said, are you the Patricia Cotham? I just went along with it.
Yeah.
He said, yeah.
Damn
yeah,
right.
That's me.
That's
probably
right. Don't forget
he was not talking about me, but I went along with it because, I mean, he clearly didn't know.
And then you had to say, look, no autographs, no selfies. got a lot we're going to get into today. Coming up at 3:30, Matthew Ridenour, former Mecklenburg County Commissioner, who is at the forefront, or one of the people at the forefront, trying to make sure that this quarter-cent sales tax does not pass tomorrow. Tomorrow is Election Day, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of which, Trisha and I will be on with Beau at 7:50 tomorrow morning to talk about Election Day. And then I'm going to be covering some election stuff throughout the day at the community, at polling places. And then Trisha and I will be on tomorrow from 3 to 6. And then tomorrow night, as always, with Beau Thompson, your Election Day coverage. Trisha and I will be in studio with Beau tomorrow night going over all things elections. As for those of you who may or may not know, Trisha is a 10-year state legislator and one of the most preeminent political consultants in the state of North Carolina. And, you know, Mark Garrison will be out and about tomorrow at a couple, maybe one or two different places, and he's going to be dealing with the quarter cent sales tax. And our very own Joe Gillespie will be hanging out with the mayor tomorrow night. So we've got that going on. So that's, again, that'll start, election coverage, I believe, will start at 7, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll be looking forward to all that good stuff. So, all right, so we've got Matthew Ridenour coming on at 3:30, and then also we're going to have Joe Gillespie coming in at 4 o'clock from the WBT Newsroom, because he was just at, just returned from CMPD's press conference talking about the woman who was sexually assaulted in broad daylight on a greenway this weekend up in the Mallard Creek area. So we'll see what they had to say, and we'll talk to Joe about that, because 14% of this quarter cent sales tax is going to be going towards parks and greenways. And if you're wondering what 14% means, that's $7 million annually, or at least that's what it's supposedly supposed to go for. So $7 million annually for parks and greenways. And you know, I think, you know, people go, well, you don't go there at night because they're poorly lit areas. Yeah, this was 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
extremely scary. I mean, it's scary all the time being alone, a female, anywhere really in this city. It just is. But daytime to be out there and to run and to have this happen is just absolutely terrifying and something I think that many people in the community can relate to. And it's very fearful. The same with even a playground. I mean, we've had issues at parks where there's been potential kidnappings and things that is just, that's not what we want for our city and for our county. And
no.
I feel very sorry for the victim, and I hope that she will be okay and gets the support that she will need going forward.
Yeah, and apparently it was a very brutal attack by the email that we got from CMPD with strangulation and all kinds of just bad, bad stuff. So we'll get Joe coming in here in about an hour, just a little bit less than an hour from now, to talk about what CMPD had to say about this particular assault, and if they said anything about, hey, here's how to protect yourself going forward. I know that, and I don't know if this is still a big thing. I really don't. But for the longest time, 90s and all through at least the 2000s, it was like a big thing that women on their keychain carried mace or pepper spray. If not directly in their purse, it was always on their keychain, which it always had that little flap or latch on it, which always seemed to be like, if I were in a panic or stress mood, I don't know if I'd be able to flip that little latch. And then, by the time you do all that, the person might be up upon you. So I don't know. But do women still carry those things?
I haven't really seen them. I used to be one who would carry one a long time ago. But now we have all these rules and laws everywhere where you can't carry mace, you can't have a pocket knife, you can set off all these alarms. And, I don't even remember the law about concealed carry in the parks. I know that was a big subject of debate several years ago, and the particular examples that were given were from female runners saying that they carry a small device that's made specifically for running to carry a gun because they did not feel safe. And I'm sad to say I don't even remember where that is right now. I'm sure we'll find out in a few minutes. Someone will inform us. But
I'm curious. So you said something a minute ago, and I want to go back to that because I did not know that was even a thing or even could be a thing. You're saying that there are places where you're not allowed to have mace or pepper spray? Carry it?
Or you see signs posted that you can't have such things, that they're considered weapons.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen or heard of that. Really?
Yep.
That surprises me.
Well, and the same with a concealed carry.
I understand.
I
mean, I don't want a concealed carry in a courthouse or, whatever. But,
or maybe you do.
Yeah. But at the same point, the mace and the pepper spray, that's the one that surprises me. That catches me off guard there. So like I said, Matthew Ryden now are coming up at 3:30, and then we got Joe Gillespie coming in the WBT studios here at 4:05. In the meantime, let's go to the WBT Traffic Center with Mike Dome.
Oh, actually, it's Bill Jones.
Oh, there
back
you go.
Here,
well,
man.
Guess what, Bill? They have told me wrong 5 straight days.
Today might have been my fault, Brad. I'll take this one.
All right, buddy. All right. Check it out. There you go. Enough of that Benny Goodman stuff. There you go. Trish is over here bopping up and down.
That's me. It's Monday.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so earlier today, I had a chance to go to Carolina's Panthers practice. It actually wasn't even really a practice. I mean, we met with Ron Rivera earlier this afternoon. And, of course, I mean, everyone wants to talk about, yes, all the local Charlatans are happy that they handedly beat Tennessee yesterday, which a game that I covered. And you can see all the coverage, our photo gallery, videos, everything at WBT.com and WFNZ.com. But at the same point, what's going to go on with Cam? He met with the doctor and, said, hey, I don't think we're going to have surgery. You heard it last week here. Dr. James Romanowski with Novant and Miller Orthopedic Clinic, also the team doctor of the Hornets, said, look, if he has surgery, the average NFL time before return is 11 months. So the longer they wait, if they have to have surgery, the more of next season he will miss if he has to have surgery. So there's been a lot of speculation that they're just going to shut him down for this year and put him on injured reserve, and a lot of national speculation. So I had the honor of asking Ron Rivera the very first question today.
Can we go ahead and get the proverbial camera question out of the way? If you guys decide to.
Without a doubt. What we're going to do is Allen will start this week. Cam will continue his rehab program. I've got nothing further to add, guys. I can't tell you anything other than what I've already told you.
Was he discussing his options?
I don't know who's talking, but we're not talking. I know that much. So, I can't answer anything other than add anything else to anything.
So there you go. Said, you know, the old Sergeant Schultz, I know nothing. And I guess it is just a wait and see. I don't know. And there's really no need. Don't mean to get into the minutiae and the finer points and behind the curtain a little bit. But I the Panthers actually haven't even fulfilled their entire roster. They've got one space on their roster where they could bring in someone. So there's no need or no dire need to put Cam on IR so they can bring in another player to help this team, because right now they even have a space that's empty right now. So, you know, so as it stands, Kyle Allen's your guy going forward for the immediate future.
And the city rejoices. Some.
Many do. Many do. He's 6-1 as a starter, 5-1 this year as a starter. Panthers had lost 2 in a row, and then he comes in and they'd won 4 in a row. And then obviously getting smoked at San Francisco, but that wasn't unexpected. And then they came back and had a really nice game yesterday against Tennessee. And then this weekend, what do you get for your efforts? You get a snowy trip at Green Bay.
Ugh.
It's supposed to snow this weekend.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine playing in that. Running and falling down in the snow.
Oh, no, look, you were, for lack of a better term, a tomboy. You were athletic. You tell me you didn't play snow football?
No, I didn't play snow football. No.
Really?
No. No.
Yeah, no.
I mean, in the dirt, riding with different things, but snow football, that gets sloppy and wet, and that's a little mess there. But,
God forbid,
luck to them.
That's funny.
Go Panthers. And you know who plays tonight?
The New York Giants.
Wrong.
Who do they play? Dallas, is that right? Dallas?
Dallas Cowboys play tonight. Monday Night Football. All is well in America.
Until they lose.
Who cares?
Because if they lose,
Still pulling for them.
What a horrible division that is. Dallas plays tonight. There's already speculation on who the next head coach is going to be because Jason Garrett will get fired.
Stop.
No, I'm serious. Like, there's
I know, whatever.
Well,
I've been saying that for a long time.
Today, boys and girls, actually, I guess yesterday, the Popeye's chicken sandwich is officially back. And I went by the Popeye's closest to the station on Wilkinson Boulevard at about 1 o'clock. And at 1 o'clock, the line was in the road.
Aww.
I counted. Now, that Popeye's has a double drive-thru, okay? There were 28 cars in line, right? I count. I went, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 28 cars in line. And then I said, okay, which I have no problem doing. I will park the car and go inside, you know, if I can save time. So I parked the car, went inside, and then I counted, and there were 36 people in line inside for this one chicken sandwich that they swear, hey, we're good. We're not going to run out this time. We are good to go. And now, granted, it was at 12:45 and the height of lunch, but Trisha's, I don't think you've ever had one of their Popeye sandwiches, have you?
No, and you won't have that problem at Chick-fil-A. I had Chick-fil-A for lunch today. Why is this Popeye sandwich so even good? What is the difference that makes it so great?
It's deep fried, first of all, as opposed to pressurized like up at Chick-fil-A, which I had Chick-fil-A for dinner Friday night. And you do get long lines at Chick-fil-A. You'll get a good...
But they move them fast.
They do.
They move them fast. It's their pleasure.
It is their pleasure. I know you're basically a Chick-fil-A spokesperson. But
pretty much.
there, the difference is, like I said, it's just the breading tastes different. It's you can get hot or not hot. I get
like
the
hot sauce or hot flavored.
Hot flavored.
Spicy.
Yeah, spicy or not spicy. Right. You can get either one. Just like Chick-fil-A does with their sandwiches every once in a while. You can get the hot spice, which I didn't like. It was too hot. Like, and I like spicy, and that was too hot. But it's deep fried. It's very good. It's very, very good. And they said, hey, this is not a drill. We are fully stocked and ready to go, is what the statement Popeyes put out yesterday.
And how long did that last?
I don't know. I mean, I know back in August, they were running out left and right. Like, they'd have it for a day, then they'd be out for 3 days. They'd have it for a day, then out for 3 days. They said, hey, we got no problems. We are ready to rock and roll. And then they're firing shots at old Chick-fil-A. Welcome back to Brett and Tricia, B&T on WBT, News Talk 1110, 99.3 FM. Taking it up till 6 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, Election Day. Really not a lot on the ballot that would concern most people. Yes, there's District 6. What's going to happen with Tark Bakary? Are the Republicans going to come out and actually vote in that district? Because, like I said, there's not a lot on the ballot to inspire them to come out, unless, of course, they are inspired to either vote for or against the quarter-cent sales tax. And joining us now on the WBT hotline is Matthew Ridenour, former Mecklenburg County Commissioner, who is at the forefront of trying to lead the charge to get people to vote against the quarter-cent sales tax. So, Matthew, thanks a lot for joining me and Tricia.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so tomorrow, what do you anticipate happening?
Well, it's as you mentioned, it's going to be there's not going to be a lot on ballot, and so it will be interesting to see what turnout looks like. Most folks are predicting fairly low turnout, maybe as high as 16%, but that might be pushing the upper ends of that. And so, with a low turnout election, you kind of wonder who's turning out. Are Democrats in Charlotte going to be turning out for basically at large races that are more or less settled? Or are we going to see a higher turnout in the northern towns, Matthews, Mint Hill, some more traditionally Republican areas for those mayoral and town board races? And so it'll be kind of interesting to see how that mix turns out next, you know, tomorrow.
Matthew, this is Tricia. Thanks for joining us. It seems that in the last few weeks, we've seen a change in some of the messaging. We know that this started off talking about the arts, and it was arts, 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 and now it's changed to education and parks and honestly everything else out there that can be sold to the public, it seems. Set the record straight. What does this tax really do?
Sure. So what this tax really does is whatever the commissioners want it to do. So ultimately, regardless of what the messaging is today, which to your point seems to change every 12 hours or so what the messaging is, but ultimately the county commission can do with those dollars whatever they choose to do with them. And so, but as you know, what they're stating the dollars will go towards right now is 45% of the revenue will go towards the Arts and Science Council. That's about $22.5 million. And then the rest will be split between the towns. We'll all get a little bit of money, as well as parks / greenways, and some money going towards education as well.
But I think the one thing is that, like what Trish was saying, is though every time you listen to WBT, because they're advertising here, the Arts and Science Council and that, you know, that whole committee's are advertising here on WBT, they're all over the television, and every time you see it, it's schools, your children, vote for your children, vote for your children. And that may not necessarily be what's really the case at all, right?
That's correct. So as you mentioned, the messaging originally was really about the arts and how we need to be promoting the arts within and the culture within Mecklenburg County. But as recently as about 7 or 8 days ago, they were actually still polling and doing message tests audience with respondents. If you knew the money was going to go towards this, would you vote for it? If you thought the money was going to go to that, would you vote for it? So the fact that they were message testing as recently as last week really indicates that they realize that their message is not selling. People are they haven't found the winning message, which is why we see the four campaigns saying. They've talked about, you saw the letter in the Observer yesterday talking about Bunsen burners in classrooms. They've talked about senior programming at senior centers. They're talking about hiring more school psychologists. They're talking about raising teacher pay. It's pretty much anything that you might want as a public. They're willing to tell you that that's what the money is going to go towards because they really want those votes. But what they don't realize, or maybe they realize and they just don't care, is that that makes the whole message, the whole campaign seem very disingenuous. Because everyone knows you can't offer everything to everybody, and so it kind of comes across as, I think, this disingenuous campaign that's just all about getting the tax passed and not about what it's really supposed to be doing.
We're talking with former County Commissioner Matthew Ridenhour. And Matthew, you just used the word disingenuous. One thing that some of us saw yesterday in the paper, a two-page full, very, very expensive ad in the Charlotte Observer listing hundreds of people, saying these people are your neighbors, your friends. But there was some controversy with names listed. Tell us about that.
Yes. So it began yesterday, kind of early morning, mid-morning, where some folks began tweeting, hey, I saw my name listed as a supporter, but I did not ever acknowledge that I support or endorse this sales tax. And then we saw that happen a couple of times throughout the course of the day. And we've also heard that there were multiple other people who also were listed but did not want to be listed as supporters. But they are, frankly, they're afraid of retaliation. There are a lot of folks who feel they are being intimidated, or that they feel like if I say something, then this massive organization is going to, you know, they just feel like they there's such a force in this community behind the FOR campaign that they don't want to speak up. And so I applaud the brave folks who have spoken up and said, I didn't support this tax and you printed my name erroneously.
A couple of them were journalists.
Yes, exactly.
And we also have heard, I have personally heard of children who thought they were going to perform for a arts theater with their arts company, just performing something, and come to find out that it was a county-sponsored event for this tax. They had no idea, and parents were very upset, saying, you know, how dare you use my children as political pawns? What they thought they were coming here to perform, and you don't have my permission to use my children for your advertising. So that did kind of blow up in their face. But Matthew, you know, this is a million-dollar campaign. We've seen ads, we've seen lots of TV commercials, I think I got six mailers this week. In politics, we know that money can often prevail. But what are you feeling on the ground? What do you think is really going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, well, when you're spending $1 million plus on a campaign, they should win 60 points to 40 points, right? But I don't think it's going to turn out that way. It's going to be close. I do ultimately think that the against campaign will win. That's based upon the 2014 results. But it's also based upon, just to your point, what I've heard and seen on the grassroots level. That is, anytime I check a Charlotte Observer article on this, or a Charlotte Agenda, or Twitter, or Facebook posts, I just see an overwhelming number of people. And they're not necessarily people that I know or people who necessarily agree with me, you know, in my political ideology. But folks are very vocal about being against this tax for multiple reasons. It might be because they feel like, hey, you just raised our property taxes 2 months ago, now you want to raise our sales tax. Or it might be because they want the money to go to affordable housing or transportation instead. But whatever their reasons are, folks are I'm seeing a lot of folks being very passionately opposed to this tax. So I think it'll be close, but I do ultimately think the against campaign will win.
Matthew, appreciate it, my man. Thanks a lot for joining us. And we may be talking to you tomorrow night during our election coverage with me, Trisha, and Bo Thompson. Again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Matthew.
In the meantime, let's go to the WBT Traffic Center with Bill Jones. Join WBT in supporting Charlotte Mechanical in the 9th annual Charlotte Coat Drive. This year's goal is to help the Salvation Army of Greater Charlotte collect 5,000 coats to keep Charlotte area men, women, and children warm this winter. Over 50 barrel partner private businesses, police forces, and churches have partnered as collection locations, making this extremely easy for you to donate a new or gently used coat. Everyone's got them. So for details, visit CoatDriveCharlotte.com. All right, let's go. A lot of people want to talk about this quarter cent sales tax, have a lot of different questions. Let's bring in Terry. Thanks for calling, Terry. I appreciate it.
Yes. Hello. How are you today?
Just fine, sir.
I have a question as far as, I mean, not just the quarter cent sales tax, but any taxes. If they are being used for something other than what they're said they're to be used for, is there a way to take that away?
Well, no.
Or is it going to be voted in? And number two is, if they're, say, for instance, you somewhat of a sanctuary city here in Charlotte, if I'm paying taxes and it's going to fund people in the country illegally, can I withhold my taxes just as if I couldn't fund a drug dealer to go out and that would be a criminal act of my own for financing it?
Understand your point, but I would not recommend withholding your own taxes for that.
And, you know, in terms of, like, say, if the city says we're going to do one thing, well, generally it will do that. But, like, this quarter cent sales tax, because I know you said not this specifically, and they said, hey, 45% is going for our arts and science, the Arts and Science Council. Well, in a year, they can vote and say, you know what, we actually want that 45% to plant trees all over Mecklenburg County. And they could vote on it, and you've got no say-so in the matter, because they can constantly change that all the time. So that, and now, and again, in terms of, you know, whether, you know, sanctuary cities or anything like that, if it's not deemed to be illegal by the Supreme Court or the Constitution,
you don't have a case.
Yeah, exactly. You've got nothing you can do about that.
And let's remember that the way this is written on the ballot tomorrow is very generic, just asking a specific question about raising the quarter cent sales tax. That's what state law allows. You cannot get extremely specific, which also helps those who are for this to say as much as they want about what this could be for. And there was a resolution passed by the county of what they would like. I have referred to it on here as like a Santa wish list, but that does not mean that that's actually where the money is going to go at all. That's just a resolution, just as resolutions are made to honor, you know, today is Hugo the Hornet Day. It's a nice gesture, but it's not necessarily binding by law. So I do point that out.
You and Hugo.
Anytime I can refer to that cute little bug, you know I'm going to.
Oh, just randomly had to select Hugo, didn't you? That's funny. Let's see here. Conrad, thanks for calling, Conrad.
Thanks for taking my call, and greetings from Gastonia.
Oh, yeah. Old stomping grounds.
Great place.
Old stomping grounds. My mom still lives there.
I'm a supporter of the arts. I have membership or season tickets in the opera,
mm-hmm.
also the concert series,
mm-hmm.
and also dance and plays, and I go there for the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend my money. I buy at the restaurants or the bars and have drinks or whatever, and it brings people from out of town into Mecklenburg, and we pay the taxes also, but I fully support the tax for the arts, and that's the reason why I'm calling. And that's another area that hasn't been discussed that I've heard over the radio or, you know, pro the tax.
And Conrad, thanks for calling in. And when you're talking about coming to Mecklenburg County to go to restaurants and bars and hotels, the tax that you are paying that's extra is the occupancy tax. That is a different tax than what we are talking about here. This is specific to the sales tax, which does not include the occupancy tax. So these are two different taxes, and you are right. Occupancy tax, hotels, restaurants, bars are often paid for, and that's why they are at a higher rate all throughout North Carolina are paid for by people outside of this county, whereas the sales tax, specifically the people who will pay the most, are the actual residents of Mecklenburg County. And sales tax is a very regressive tax, which means it often harms most vulnerable populations the most. Thanks for calling in.
Welcome to hour number two here on News Talk 1110 99.3 FM, WBT. Brett and Tricia, B&T on WBT, taking you up till 6 o'clock tonight. Telephone numbers 704-570-1110, and we'll be getting back to your phone calls shortly. But in the meantime, there was a press conference today held by CMPD about the tragic situation where a woman yesterday afternoon was jogging or doing something up there at the Mallard Creek Greenway in broad daylight and was physically assaulted and sexually assaulted. And not a lot of information had come out about that other than the fact that it had happened. And then today they had the press conference, and our Joe Gillespie from the WBT newsroom was there. So, Joe, thanks for joining us today. What was the overriding theme, or what did they want to talk about today, the police, about this attack yesterday?
The overriding theme was, we're taking this very seriously. We've made it a priority, and it is not related to the incident that happened on the Greenway, but not there, in September. The suspects, the people they're looking for, one was Hispanic male, one was black male. That was pretty much all the information. They're increasing patrols. The captain of that area said a lot of his people use that Greenway, so it's sort of a semi-personal thing. We found a little bit, which was very difficult to get any good description information. And actually, since that news conference ended an hour ago, a few minutes ago, we got a release from them, and they actually included some information, which they told us this afternoon they couldn't tell us because they didn't want to tell us what the secrets they had. Okay, so what they told us this afternoon, what we now know is the suspect, black male, 6 foot, about 200 pounds, last seen wearing a black hooded sweatshirt and black pants. And they have an article of his clothing, which they're hoping to process through the lab very quickly for some kind of DNA.
Joe, any updates on the victim?
No.
She was just running, doing her own thing.
Whatever she was doing, and it's horrifying. It was, this person grabs her from behind.
Terrible.
And renders her unconscious.
Mm.
And she wakes up, and he's stolen her phone, too. And, yeah, it's frightening. But so many people use these.
So he took her phone?
Yeah, he took her phone.
Well, they should be able to. Did they talk about that at all?
No, they're not going to tell you any of their secrets. I was thinking the same thing. They can ping that phone and things. There's things they can do electronically.
Right.
That I think they hope. Maybe.
So what advice is that? What is CMPD saying to those who use the greenways all the time and run? What advice are they giving?
They stress don't. Oh, no. What I mean is, I said to them, so the message is don't use them. Oh, no. That's not the message. That's not our message. Use it with somebody else. Be very aware and don't have music in your ears so loud you are not aware of what's going on around you.
Because that's what, we were talking about this earlier, Joe, most joggers, that's what they do. They've got the little headphones right in, the earbuds in, they've got the music on, or they're listening to a podcast or whatever, and they're oblivious to the things that are behind them because they're on a trail. They're not looking for cars because they're on a trail.
There's somebody very close to me who uses not this part of the Greenway, but another part. And I'm always stressing, don't be careful with, there's always people. There's always a lot of people. Well, there's not always a lot of people. Sometimes there's a lot of people. The next thing you know, you find yourself, it's just you. And in this case, they don't know if this was some kind of premeditated thing or if it just happened to be a target of opportunity.
And this area has had other crimes, like you've mentioned, with sexual assault very recently.
They had one in September. In that case, the victim was jogging on the greenway. She was grabbed from behind, assaulted her by striking her about the face and body several times. They wrestled. They tussled on the ground. She had pepper spray.
Okay.
Which actually worked. I always wonder if that really works or if it's a false sense of security. She sprays this guy and then was able to get away. So at least it helped a little bit, I guess.
It's amazing that obviously I could never put myself in her shoes, but you would think from the outside, the fact that she was unconscious for this, much of this attack is somewhat of a blessing for her. I mean, you know, as opposed to having to live through it or experience it while you're seeing everything happen, but then you wake up and then he's on her phone. That's really weird.
Okay. She, he was strangled her.
Yeah.
She went unconscious. She regains consciousness, and he's on top of her.
Okay.
And he gets up and fled, and sometime during the attack, he took her phone. But, I mean, how?
Well, I mean,
it's disgusting and horrifying.
It's absolutely disgusting, yeah. Horrifying, despicable, the trauma that she endured and now will endure for the rest of her life, regardless if she was unconscious or not. Is just absolutely horrific.
And then if they catch the suspect, she goes through the trial.
Well, that's the other issue. If she goes through the trial and, you know, they will point, well, you don't remember. And, then we shift to victim blaming and criticizing the victim. And that is absolutely wrong.
It's totally wrong. And horrifying.
I feel for her and her family. And the pain that she will endure the rest of her life. And I hope that they catch this, you know.
And everybody wants to think it's safe to go out. And everybody's doing something today. They're walking, they're running, they're doing something.
Middle of the day.
Exactly.
That's the scary thing. That was in the middle of the day. She wasn't there at sundown or sunsetting. This was in the middle of the day on the weekend.
Well, there are people. Yeah, you're exactly right. Now we've got the time change, but this is still the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very scary.
Well, hopefully this, something breaks in this so this person can't repeat this.
Right.
Or someone else.
Well, that's the fear.
Absolutely.
Is he going to keep doing this other places? And it's just, we all have to watch our back for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, like I said, I appreciate you going out there today. And you can be able to hear this throughout the newscast throughout the entire day. But it's... I guess the last thing, you know, the CMPD was just saying, hey, look, you know, because I was looking at just some of the press conference, like, don't run alone, you know. But how many joggers do we see running alone?
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's on the sidewalks or, you know, the parks or the greenways, I mean, that's what they do.
I understand what they're saying about that, but at some point we have to say, let's not just continue to blame the victim. We should have the ability to run, to exercise, to be with our kids and not have to worry about these things, but we do. And if you are a female, you are going to worry about more things. That is just.
I just think you would, absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, it's something that, you know, I think that as women, we think about every day, no matter where we are and what time of day. And
I wonder how much security this was brought up very briefly. There's not really a huge park police, is there? I think they have some officers, but I'm not even sure they're armed.
Probably not on a Sunday.
I mean, and she can't be everywhere, but this is, you're right.
And she was probably doing everything that we would all do, carry our phone, have it available, running during daylight. Probably her family knew where she was.
Right.
You're doing everything you can, and then there's some evil person lurking and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
He was waiting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, Joe, again, thanks a lot for going out there and coming in and talking to us about what the CMPD had to say about the victim out there at the Mallard Creek Greenway. Shocking in so many different ways. And, again, you hope that somehow that the victim will be able to deal with this from a physical and mental standpoint going forward at some point. But in the meantime, let's go to the WBT Traffic Center with Bill Jones. Yeah, you think it's kind of a slow Monday, A lot of different news going on between the CMPD having their press conference about the tragedy that unfurled yesterday at the Greenway up in Mallard Creek area. And then you've got the Courtesan sales tax. I want to thank Matthew Ridenour, who joined us last hour, to talk about why there should not be a quarter-cent sales tax increase and why people should vote no. But getting back to women protecting themselves. Now, Tricia has no idea any of the topics that I've got to discuss. I always like springing things on her, getting her instant and immediate honest reaction. And this is something that she is going to love, TJ. TJ, I am telling you, she is going
to
love this.
You're speaking for me?
Oh, I am speaking for you because I know you and I know you're going to love this.
I don't know about that.
A pregnant woman in Florida is being hailed as a hero today.
Yeah.
All right. Did you hear about this story?
Saw just a little tiny clip of it.
Well, let me give you the details. Two masked intruders break into her home about 9 o'clock on Wednesday night. The husband and their 11-year-old daughter are like in the living room, the family room. The 8-month-old pregnant mom is back in the back bedroom, right? Two guys break in. One of them pistol whips the guy, all right? And kicked him in the head several times, all right? And they started grabbing the 11-year-old daughter. Which is, by the way, this occurring is extremely rare. Like, home invasions generally don't, like, they invade the home hoping no one's there. You know, so this is unusual in and of itself. And they grab the girl. At that point, this 8-month-old pregnant mom peeks her head out the door. One of the intruders sees her, fires a shot at her, misses, right? She goes into the bedroom. Grabs her AR-15. Like, it might as well have been a bazooka. Right? Grabbed her bazooka out of the back bedroom, fired a shot, and it clipped him. Right? At this point, the two intruders are like, holy hell. We're up against a bazooka.
I'm out of here.
Mama Bear protecting her young and her family. Here's my favorite quote of the entire story. This is the part. He made it from my back door to roughly 200 feet out in front of the ditch before the AR-15 did its thing.
So here are a few key takeaways.
Authorities found the body of the man nearby the house. And now the father has a fractured eye socket and a fractured sinus cavity and a concussion and 20 stitches and 3 staples in his head. Like, they beat the holy hell out of him. But the other guy was found in a ditch. And the quote was, he made it from my back door to roughly 200 feet from the front ditch before the AR did its thing.
I mean, he got a long way, really, 200 feet. Because an AR will get you. But I think the big takeaway here is you do not mess with pregnant women.
I thought you were going to say the key to the takeaway here is to make sure you zig and zag while you're running away from the house.
Right. But you do not mess with pregnant women, especially those in their third trimester. But, you know, I mean, she had to do what she had to do to protect her family. It could have ended up very, very ugly, obviously. So go, mom.
Her quote, and I'm just going to quote them as she said it, grammar notwithstanding. Them guys came in with 2 normal pistols and my AR stopped it. For those of you wondering,
the NRA?
The Hillsborough County Sheriff, Hillsborough, by the way, is where Tampa is. Okay, Hillsborough County is where Tampa is. And the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office said the AR-15 rifle was in the house legally.
Sure,
fully
illegal.
Permitted.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, but it was fully permitted.
Sure.
Everything was good. And, it's before my AR did its thing.
Mama's got a gun. Watch out.
I want to know how many gunshots homeboy had. I don't feel sorry for him. I have zero remorse or sympathy. Zero.
Like, I would have liked to have seen the look on his face that split second that her big belly came out holding that gun.
Sort of firing the bazooka.
So, yeah. Sure. Well, I'm glad her family is okay, and I'm glad they got the bad guy.
Oh, they did, and they did. So, but now she's being hailed as a hero. And that's...
She will always have a story to tell.
Oh, yeah.
About her pregnancy. That's a different type of baby.
And,
baby shower, baby gunpowder.
Oh, yeah. And every NRA person on the planet is going to say,
sure.
Right here, Exhibit A.
Right.
Exhibit A.
Well, I think this is what, honestly, a lot of women and moms really do think about. I mean, we just talked about sexual assault during the daylight at a park, and now we're hearing about a home invasion. I mean, these things do cross your mind.
And the father, the man, was rendered helpless.
Sure.
I mean, you got the fool beat out of him, pistol whipped, and 20 stitches, and a broken eye socket, and a broke, caved in sinus cavities, a concussion, 3 staples in his head, and they had grabbed the 11-year-old daughter. God knows what would have happened. And next thing you know, here comes the bazooka out of the backyard, or out of the back bedroom.
Get it, Mom.
and homeboy got it in the yard.
In the ditch, 200 feet away.
Yeah, got it. You got it all right. Unbelievable. Back to News Talk 1110 99.3 FM. Brett Jensen, Trisha Cotham, B&T on WBT. Got about another 90 minutes or so to go. Telephone number 704-570-1110. Fred, what's going on, buddy? Thanks for calling.
How are y'all today?
Just fine, sir.
Great.
I like that article a lot too, Brett, about that lady in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
If you notice the key words in it. Her AR-15, my AR-15. I mean, it wasn't her husband. This thing belonged to this lady. This is the coolest mama in the South. That's the way I look at it. I mean, she got her own AR-15. My wife only uses a 357. But I'm going to see if I can upgrade my wife to an AR-15.
Well, Christmas is coming, Fred.
Well, I actually got my eye at a local sports store that starts with an A. I'm not going to say the name of it. But they've got Chuck Connors' rifle down there, and I would like to buy that for her personally. If you ever watched The Rifleman, but now Trisha's not old enough to have watched that show.
Well, I got news for you. Either is Brett, homeboy.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you.
Y'all have a blessed day.
You Thanks, too.
That's funny because, she obviously knew how to work it and use it.
As you should if you're going to own that weapon, of course. You
right,
should.
Right. And
she had it safe, stored away, and... That's exactly what people want.
Absolutely. I need to get your thoughts on this because you're the mom. I do not like people, and I will throw this out there, and I know as a news person I'm supposed to be unbiased, and for the most part I am, even when it comes to sports. Generally don't care who wins or loses or anything like that. But this has always bothered me because I think this is greater than trying to be unbiased. This is more about a health situation, which is why we're seeing a rise in polio. And all the people who are anti-vaccination people out there, right? Well, there's a huge thing going on right now because in Australia, we're talking Australia. It's not a third world country. We're talking Australia. It easily could have been Nebraska, Michigan, Arizona, whatever. An Australian mother who identifies herself as an RN at a local hospital there. And she's also part of the private Facebook group Stop Mandatory Vaccination. And she's in healthcare. She said one of her children, her son, has the chicken pox. And in order to help others, she laced candy with the chicken pox virus. So other kids will get the chicken pox, which will... in theory, stop the spread of chickenpox and it'll help kids when they're, if you get it, because they always say you want the chickenpox young, you don't want it as an adult. Like it can do some serious damage if you get the chickenpox as an adult. Especially men and women can make you both sterile, all kinds of stuff. So anyways, she took these hard candy wrappers And she said they had the quote, they had it down. We have the packaging open and closing down pat, and we can't wait to help others in our community. Then she said, because she was getting obviously a lot of feedback, and then she said, do you think you're right by judging me and trying to report me and get me fired? I don't care. The health and well-being of my baby is far more important. You say I'm vile and gross, like I have done something that hundreds of thousands of parents haven't already done. How many times do you see children dropped off at daycare or school when they are clearly sick and contagious? She's saying what she did is no different than that. She says, I am offering lifelong immunity for the price of a couple of blisters and a few days off school.
Give me a break. I hope she enjoys a jail cell.
Well, they're trying to find her because obviously it's a fake name that she's using. And they contacted the hospital and they're like, nobody by that name works here. And if she's caught, they just, Australia last year made it very difficult. If you tamper with food, you get minimum 15 years.
Well, I mean, she definitely tampered with it,
right.
And she's making the false assumption that the only people who are going to eat this candy are children. And that's a very, very dangerous assumption, because if you have chicken pox, and you're most dangerous actually to pregnant women. And that's why they say if you are an adult with chicken pox, you need to be quarantined because of how dangerous it is to pregnant women. So what if a pregnant woman was enjoying a piece of candy that was laced with the chicken pox virus? I mean, that is absolutely deadly. That is irresponsible. Who is she to do this? That is reckless. And then to compare it to daycare and dropping your kids off, that's a very false, illogical comparison. So I hope she's caught and gets some good germs from the jail, because there'll be plenty.
Oh, I'm trying to remember her name, and I can't remember her name. The former Playboy playmate, the blonde-headed lady who married...
Jenny McCarthy.
Thank you, Jenny McCarthy. I was going to say who married the Wahlberg. Jenny McCarthy, when she went on Oprah and said that vaccination gave her son autism.
Right.
And all these studies have come out. All these studies have said there's not a single link, not one. Like, they can actually disprove it. Because a lot of times scientists will go, well, we have no proof.
Right.
They've actually disproven the link between vaccinations and people who get autism.
Good luck trying to explain logic and science and data to some people when it comes to vaccinations, and not just for autism, but even the flu shot, the vaccine that's kind of the newer for the PPV virus, that gets a tremendous amount of controversy and fighting in the moms groups on Facebook. But, you know, when you get a vaccine, it's not just for yourself. It's for people around you who you do not know, that you pass in the grocery store or at Popeye's Chicken, who may have an autoimmune deficiency disorder. It's about the greater good. And when we've removed ourselves from viruses such as measles and polio that did tremendous damage to people and ruined lives and killed many people, to bring that back in 2019, that just seems absolutely reckless. But it's a hot topic, and one that people will, I've certainly had people go off on me over it, because as a legislator, and when you're the only legislator who is the youngest female and the only one with children in a body of 170, everyone looks to you to be the example. And I was very much pro-vaccine, pro-community public health, and the hate mail that I received wishing that my children would die. The email that, I mean, the groups, I'm thinking, how can you be a mother and say this to another mother? But it is, you know, it's very, very sad, and hope she gets caught, because that is absolutely wrong what she did.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, when we come back, wait till you hear what's going on with Krispy Kreme. You know, it's a North Carolina staple. Winston-Salem, Wait till you hear what's happening with Krispy Kreme. Unbelievable. In the meantime, let's go to the WBT Traffic Center with Bill Jones. TJ, do you remember this song? You remember
I picked it, yes.
Remember the significance of this song?
No.
This was the song that you, for whatever reason, picked out for me as my theme when I did my show from 7 to 10 at night.
Oh.
This was the song.
Yeah, I did this on purpose.
Yeah, it was all on you. Appreciate that.
Trip down memory.
All right, so Krispy Kreme, a North Carolina staple, a Southern staple, before they expanded way too fast, too soon, and the stock went through the toilet and circled down around the bowl and then finally went down the pipe. Dunkin' Donuts has taken over. Krispy Kreme is secondary. It is. And it's their own fault, and that's why they got new CEOs and everything else. Well, oh, Krispy. As a matter of fact, I had one yesterday at the Panthers game because they service that Krispy Kreme donuts in the press box. That's where I sit. But there's a 21-year-old college student in Minnesota. There's no Krispy Kremes in Minnesota. So this very enterprising, you know, and Krispy Kreme's like legendary. Like, people want it because they've never had it. They've always heard about it. So like in the East, we've always heard about In-N-Out Burgers out West and stuff like that, right? Which I love In-N-Out Burgers. So anyways, so this guy, this kid, 21 years old, college student, would drive basically 2.5 hours each way. Round trip of about 270 miles. Like at least once a week, like every Sunday, TJ, Trisha, every Sunday. And he would fill his car with 100 boxes of a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts, right? 100 boxes. Because it was the closest Krispy Kreme to where he lived in Minnesota. But then when he would get back, he would sell those boxes for $20 a box, which is nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with this. And then Krispy Kreme, or then a local TV station in Minneapolis, did a story on it. Or excuse me, the St. Paul Pioneer Press, the newspaper in St. Paul, Minnesota, did a story on it. And then Krispy Kreme called the kid and said, yeah, you need to stop selling our donuts for $20 a box, which I don't think they have a legal right to do that. To be perfectly honest with you, I mean, if I buy a Bud Light and I sell it to Trisha for $5 and it only costs me 48 cents in a six pack, so be it. It's called enterprise. Supply and demand. I have it. You want it. There you go. So now Krispy Kreme started getting some like heat over this. And then Krispy Kreme finally released a statement that said, "We appreciate Jason's passion for Krispy Kreme and his entrepreneurial spirit as he pursues his education." And that's all it said. that's all it said. That's an entire statement. We appreciate it. And Jason didn't, who people know him as the donut guy in Minneapolis, took it well. Like, I kind of would have gotten upset and raised a big stink about it.
No, not
yeah, really. I know, right? And he had done this 20 times. And then he told his Facebook people, he said on Facebook, "Hey, life happens, and it could be a sign that something else is meant to be. So be it, whatever."
So does Dunkin' Donuts call him?
Well, but the problem is, I mean, if there's a Dunkin' Donuts, yeah, they're everywhere.
Nobody wants that.
Well, clearly people want that if it's become number one.
Ugh.
Something's happening.
Yeah, it's run right down the street. Think about, we're in North Carolina, and I think there's only 2, maybe 3 Krispy Kremes in all of Mecklenburg County. Think about that. And there's one in Gastonia, but there's none near where we are. Like, we
disappointing.
Would, we would seriously
but aren't
have
they
to drive.
Like, aren't they delivered fresh every day to gas stations and the Harris Teeter?
That's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same as getting them. Yeah,
not fresh now.
Like, there's an old one in Raleigh.
Yeah,
near downtown.
Great.
As a matter of fact, when I had to spend a week in Raleigh doing the Mark Harris thing, on the way back to the hotel, I just happened to drive by it, and it had the big "Hot Now" sign on. They just came out of the oven, and this place was huge. Like, it was like a factory, a conveyor belt of just Krispy Kreme donuts. And I went, I want three of those. I want five of those. I want four of those. I want three of those. And that was my dinner for like two straight days, was Krispy Kreme donuts.
All of them?
Oh, I plowed through two dozen donuts in about just about 2 days.
Did you get your sugar checked after that?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good on that. So how about that?
Well,
good for Krispy Kreme or bad for Krispy Kreme? I don't think they have a legal right to say
I think they have a legal right.
I think that's good for the brand.
I mean, it shows that it's in demand, and maybe they should listen and try to expand, and maybe they will. And they could do a positive campaign and give him, you know, free donuts for life somewhere or something good. Make something good out of it. Turn something that could be negative into a positive would be a good
Krispy Kreme should be affairs. Paying for his gas and taking a cut of those $20 boxes.
Oh, and I misspoke. I said 270 miles each way or round trip. No, it's each way. It's 270 miles. So geez. He would drive to Iowa, fill his car up with 100 boxes, drive back and go, boys, I got the donuts. And he said he had regular customers, and some customers would spend like $100 at a time. Oh, you know what? I want five dozen. I'll take five dozen donuts, because he would buy them from work or whatever. Yeah. And he was making $100 on five dozen, which maybe cost him, I don't know, maybe $40. I don't know how much a dozen per box costs at Krispy Kremes. I don't know.
I don't really eat donuts, but I can tell you that's like the best smelling place you can ever walk into.
Yeah, I bet his car was delicious.
I hope he wore a little hat. I hope he got a little one of those white hats and put on.
Oh, and he also said, even though he was there 20 straight weeks buying these donuts, he never once got a discount from that Krispy Kreme. So, hey, I didn't get any discounts. Not like I was doing anything shady. I went there as a regular customer, bought my 100 dozen donuts, drove back, and sold them for $17 to $20 a pop.
Dude, on the donut thing, market.
He could still do that, and no one would ever know.
On the somebody tells.
And I'd do it again. I'd do it. Like, stop me, big boy. What you got? What you got, Krispy Kreme? You need my sales. How'd that work out for you in Target?
Were they in Target?
Yeah, that's why we're Target or Walmart is why they failed miserably. They overexpanded. That's why Krispy Kreme's stock went to like $3 a share. Oh, yeah, that's why they had to get rid of the CEO.
I wouldn't think Target would be the right market.
Starbucks is in Target.
Well, yeah, that's different.
Holy macaroni. Call the neighbors and wake the kids. Hour number three of B&T on WBT, Brett and Tricia. Here on News Talk 1110, 99.3 FM, WBT. Taking you up till 6 o'clock tonight. Telephone number 704-570-1110. You can also follow us on Twitter at WBT Radio, at Tricia Coffin, and at Brett_Jensen. Quite a pretty wild first 2 hours. We had Joe Gillespie on talking about the CMPD press conference today. We had Matthew Ridenour talking about the quarter sales tax and why he's against it. We talked about Krispy Kreme. We talked about vaccinations.
We talked about the mama who got her AR-15 and took care of business.
Oh, yes. And how. And now we get to talk about this.
Oh, no. Help.
This is going to be good. This is going to be good.
TJ?
This is going to be good.
You want my backup?
I have nothing to add here. I don't even know what's happening.
That's how I feel.
So, a couple was recently asked on day two of a 15-day cruise. And I think they were out in Barbados. And they're like, hey, you're going to have to leave. It's midnight, and we're kicking you off the boat. Okay? I think it was Barbados. And so they're like, wait a minute. Wait, what? Yeah, it was Barbados. And it was the first day of a two-week Caribbean cruise. And this couple from Germany were kicked off the boat, like late at night. And they are claiming it's because late at night they had extremely loud sex that disturbed all the neighbors. And so then after sex, they got an argument. Okay? And then he went to the bathroom. She went out on the balcony. They're all still butt naked. And then you hear the whole, you know, knocking on the door. And they're like, yeah, someone needs to see you right now. And the captain kicked them off. And they're claiming, hey, just because we like each other naked doesn't mean you should be kicking us off the boat because we have a good time. And all the cruise ship would say is, the safety of our guests is our top priority. Due to a security-related incident, we have made use of our house right and asked the guests to leave the ship. This was done to protect the guests themselves and other fellow travelers. Well, it turned out, I've never been on a cruise, okay? Other than like I took a four-hour boat ride from West Palm to like the Bahamas one time.
That's not a cruise.
Yeah, right. It was like a four-hour, I got to gamble and drink, and like it was like 4.5 hours going from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas. And then I stayed at the Bahamas for a week. But apparently, after the argument, and the guy's in the bathroom, and the wife is out on the balcony, she fired up a cigarette. And apparently, you're not allowed to smoke anywhere in the ship except designated areas, even on your own balcony.
That's right.
Like I said, I've never known that.
Right.
But they are claiming, hey, they kicked us out because we were having crazy monkey sex. And she was apparently screaming bloody murder during the whole encounter.
Well, that happens. The bigger issue is violating the smoking. And I have been on a lot of cruises. It's the most dangerous thing on a ship is a fire. And so they really, really do have strict rules about where you can smoke and where you can't. And so that part, I'm not surprised. Now, you will hear those noises all throughout the day on the ship all the time. It's probably the most happening activity besides the buffet eating on the Lido deck. I think that's probably pretty common, just guessing. But the smoking part on the balcony would be a serious problem.
Because she's like, hey, they never told us why we're leaving. They just said for safety reasons. And if you hear that statement, they said for the safety of the guests and our fellow passengers. By the way, the knock at the door came at 1 a.m. 1 a.m.
That's actually pretty early.
And it took them 2 days to get a flight out of Barbados back to Germany. So now they're suing the cruise line for $15,000 saying, hey, A, we want our money back. We want money back for the flights. We had to stay in Barbados an extra 2 days because, you know, we were stranded. You kicked us off in a foreign country. We want $15K for pain, suffering, and expenses.
Okay. Well, they have no legal standing. When they buy a cruise ticket, they waive all their rights. And remember, cruise law is not under American law. It's under different countries based on where that cruise ship is docked from. And they have a zero tolerance when it comes to behavior. And they say, if you read the very small print, which no one does, that they can throw you off for any reason. And they list those specific things. So they will not have a case. But you know what? Barbados, that's pretty awesome. It could have been a lot worse. They could have ended up somewhere else, but they are in a beautiful island. Their mistake, I'm sure they went back to their other late night loud activities, and it will all be fine.
The other thing is, the crew said, hey, we're just trying to, quote, protect themselves and the other fellow travelers.
Again, the cigarette smoking is really, really dangerous because one flick, if it goes off, I mean, I don't want to be going off that ship in a small boat and have a fire. I mean, you have to practice these drills when you're on a ship.
Oh, really?
They make you get in a straight line and stand there and where, you know, it's really, really intense. Where they go over.
Is that before you take off?
That is before you take off. That is required by maritime law, and that you have to do that in every single person, and there could be 4,000 people on the ship, and everyone is accounted for, and the boat will not leave until every single person. People try to hide under their beds in their closet, take a nap, but it is, you know, then they go over the rules right there.
If you hide before we've even left the dock, I hope you're immediately kicked off the boat.
Yeah. Well, they will find you, and then they'll page you, and then you have to wait. But cruising is great. It's a lot of fun. I think you might like it.
Never done it.
It has all the things you might like.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about cruising, or the only thing that
I don't know.
No, I was going to say, the thing that I think I wouldn't like about cruising is I wouldn't want to spend 10 hours at one place and then go to another place and then go to another place. Like, if I go somewhere, like, I want to spend a few days there and seeing what I'm, because you can't obviously see all of Athens, Greece, right, in 12 hours when you're doing a cruise in the Greek Isles. Like, I want to see what's going on.
I don't think I would probably want to do, like, a European 15-day cruise, but I think going to the Caribbean where you're island hopping, and that makes it easy. They are very well organized. It's fun. But, yeah, if you're really going to take, like, a deep dive and want that big cultural, that's probably not going to happen. But a quick little destination, see some blue water, some dolphins.
So give me the 4-day cruise or 5-day cruise where I'm going to one place,
yeah,
like say St. Thomas, and just stay there, and then you take the day cruise back home. So you're on the boat for a while, you spend the night on the boat.
Well, this is a business, so the cruise line wants to take you to different ports because they own those islands. Usually, those islands that they actually take you to are owned by the specific cruise line.
Whoa. Nobody owns Barbados or Aruba.
No. Like all the islands that they go to, they might say like they go to the Bahamas, but it's actually a different island right in the Bahamas with a different name,
right,
that they own.
They all do that.
But, you know, that's where they make their big money on people. So they want you to have these different excursions. They want you to do this. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just take your motion sickness pills. Don't get caught smoking.
Apparently, take your muzzle. Oh, Bill Jones, what's happening out there on this Monday afternoon? So Trisha just revealed something during the break. You know, about a week or actually 2 weeks ago, I was being called a Halloween Grinch. On the day I was wearing my green pants, Oscar Grouch. I've never been the world's biggest Halloween person. Not a big dresser-upper. Don't need kids coming to my door, especially when you're single. I'm good. Now, if I were married and had kids, obviously that would be a different case.
I don't know. You'd still probably be a Grinch.
But Trisha just revealed she hates one of my favorite holidays. Actually, it's probably one of my top two holidays. She hates Thanksgiving, TJ. And you, wait a minute, you call me a Grinch for not necessarily liking Halloween, which nobody, like, whatever.
And you hate the gateway to Christmas?
Well, hate is a strong word. But no, I don't really like it.
I think it's the best holiday, that and July 4th. But the reason I think Thanksgiving is the best holiday is because there's no pressure. You don't have to worry about buying a gift. Yeah, you've got cooking, but you do all the big cooking during Christmas as well for all your stupid family that comes in that you don't like, you got to buy a stupid present for that you don't like, or that you only see once a year for 3 days a year at Christmas.
Yep.
I mean, but Thanksgiving, it's usually a little bit more intimate setting, you know? And you got football all day too, like including the Dallas Cowboys every Thanksgiving Day.
Where will I be Thanksgiving?
I understand.
In Dallas.
Ugh.
Cheering on America's team, being grateful, and giving thanks every day. One day out of the year.
If that's what I had to do on Thanksgiving, I'd hate it too.
But you know what's funny?
Well, I'll send you pictures, TJ.
This is an actual true story. I swear to God, at 11:30 last night, Trisha Cotham has texted me saying,
"I did not."
Oh, I'm sorry. What? Trisha Cotham texted me last night at 11:30 and says, "I accepted TJ's friend request on Facebook, and now all he does is send me Dallas Cowboy hate stuff."
I said one.
This is like 11:30 last night.
Okay, and so he did, which is great. I'm as a Dallas Cowboys fan, I'm totally used to it. But I waited until midnight last night so that I could tweet, it's game day, and I'm wearing my Dallas Cowboys dress today and shoes and everything for this. It might be a Monday, but it's game day, football night in America. It's great.
See,
this is America.
And another thing about Thanksgiving is you don't have to go to church after like Christmas Eve dinner. That's another thing. It's just way easier and more relaxing and a lot of food.
Clearly, you're not making the turkey and all the items if you think it's relaxing, because I know a lot of men and women who will say it is very, very stressful, tiring holiday. But see, they're ruining Thanksgiving with doing this Black Friday stuff at 2 p.m. where they're opening stores and you can start your shopping. I mean, it's like
on
Thanksgiving Day.
Wow.
Where you're taking away the holiday. And I mean, my birthday is right around this holiday, so I was always the kid who was never in school for her birthday. Always had to eat turkey, you know. It's just, I just don't really.
My
like
name's
it.
Her birthday is on Thanksgiving once every 6 years. So it's not like you don't get a whole week out of school.
It's, well, but you could. I mean,
you don't.
But you could.
No.
Usually you're off Wednesday, you're off Friday.
Right.
You're off the weekend. But here's one thing. Here's a debate I had with my mother. Let's change the subject to her. She told me, because we disagree on what you should have for Thanksgiving dinner. We have very big disagreements on this.
Oh, I don't know how you can disagree on this.
I say you have to have macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And she absolutely despises that and says that is wrong. Whoa. And you do not. And I'm like, Mom,
the Pilgrims didn't have macaroni and cheese. We didn't. No,
I'm like, Mom, those are fighting words. You cannot do that. So 1 year, I was adamant that we must have macaroni and cheese. She went and bought already made macaroni and cheese from like a big box store. But she bought it like a week before Thanksgiving. I was the only one who ate the macaroni and cheese.
What?
And I felt that macaroni and cheese about 2 a.m. It was the sickest I have ever been probably in my life.
We've
and
never
I feel
had
like
it.
My mother
ever.
Planned that.
I've never had mac and cheese on a Thanksgiving,
because
ever.
Because the Pilgrims didn't have it?
Because the Pilgrims
so
didn't
you
have it.
Have smallpox?
That's
so
right. I had
so
smallpox and I had scurvy,
so
but I didn't have
with,
mac and cheese.
You're agreeing with my mom.
Yeah, because... Well,
but your family's northern.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, right. Even though, I mean, you know, my grandparents moved to Gaston County in the 60s from New York.
But they brought, yeah.
And my mom and I moved to, and my you know, moved down, and my dad moved down here in the 70s. Yeah, we didn't have... I mean, we had, you know, butternut squash. We never had yellow squash. We didn't have that in our, God forbid we had ever had yellow squash. You know, we had butternut squash and we had the mashed potatoes, you know, and everything was homemade. And my grandmother was a ridiculously fabulous cook and like was in cookbooks and recipes. I know everyone says their grandmother's a great cook, but like she's an actual published cook. And I don't know, the best thing about showing up, the only good thing about Christmas at my family was when you showed up to my grandmother's house at 8:30 in the morning to do Christmas for the entire family, it was always, Brett, can I get you some spike eggnog? I was like, well, yes, you can, Grandma. I appreciate that. Thank you. No, never had macaroni. And I don't want macaroni and cheese.
Well, everybody in the South, you have to have macaroni and cheese. You're going to see some ham. You might see some
chicken.
No,
ham's fine. Ham, no chicken.
Mashed potatoes. You're going to see it.
Chicken's
all
outlawed.
Pumpkin pie.
You can do duck. Oh, of course you do a pumpkin pie. You can do duck, you can do ham, and you can do turkey.
Well, ham and turkey, yes.
Yeah, no chicken.
I've had Bojangles chicken tenders served to me at a Southern. It was great. It was actually one of the best Thanksgivings I ever went to.
Even highly successful women that are married to future NBA Hall of Fame basketball players have self-esteem issues. The other day, Ayesha Curry, Steph Curry's wife, you know, she's all over, like she's got cooking books, she's TV cooking programs, all kinds of stuff. Well, she was on Red Table Talk which is like a Facebook Live thing with Jada Pinkett Smith, right? And she said, she confessed that she doesn't receive, not anymore, any, quote, male attention. And that it has really affected her self-esteem. And then a lot of people went online and criticized her. And, you know, you could say, well, you know, they know it's Steph Curry's wife, or so no one's, you know, hits on her or whatever. But she said, hey, you know, as a woman, you want to be attractive or find other guys that are, or have guys that are attracted to you, even though you're married and she's in love with Steph and they've got children and all that stuff. But she's like, yeah, it kind of messes with my self-esteem that men don't give me their attention anymore. What are your thoughts about that, female?
Well, I think everybody wants to feel valued and appreciated. And, I mean, we live in a society where everything is based on how you look, and everyone posts pictures with all the filters and erases everything so everybody looks picture perfect, and that's not really reality. But I think there is a really big pressure, no matter if you're, you know, the CEO of a company or working at a grocery store. Nobody should be made to feel not worthy or devalued.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think, and she got blasted online.
Of course.
You know, oh, poor little you. You're this multi-millionaire. You're all over TV. And your husband's Steph Curry. And poor little Aisha Curry.
And that's unnecessary. But people are ruthless online. And the keyboard wizard folks, you know who you are. You hide behind the keyboard. You write nasty, mean personal messages, and with women it's often you're fat, you're ugly, you know, this, that, and the other. They post terrible things, so I'm sure she got a lot of that, and that's unfortunate, and it happens all the time.
Absolutely. And it does happen. And here's the worst thing, and me and the program director Mike Schaefer were talking about this earlier today, about completely separate topic, but he was saying, hey, and it's my experience as a longtime, you know, producer and program director and all that, that when someone wants to criticize a woman, women are harder on other women. It's not men attacking women who say, oh, they suck or this or that. It's women on women crime. Do you find that to be accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was the youngest female elected official, and thought that women would definitely welcome me and try to help me. And I realized very, very quickly that that was absolutely not the case, and was ridiculed about my hair, my clothes, my outfits, my jewelry, my makeup, everything right and left. And then when I had children, it became even worse. The things that were said to me from other elected officials, the same elected officials who say they're all pro-women and pro-female, did everything they could to attack other women. And I hate that hypocrisy. And I see that here locally all the time. We see it on the national stage. And this is not a competition. Women should be building up and supporting other women. I try to help as many young women into politics. It doesn't matter, political party. I will try to support them and give them advice if they ask and want that. But we should absolutely be supportive and stop being so judgmental, because men don't do that. They don't do it like women do it. It's mean. The Mean Girls, the whole movie, the whole concept, that goes forward into moms and the cliques and the work culture. And it's all around us, and it's ridiculous.
I know during the 2015 presidential primary, when you had, I think it was 19 Republicans, the only female was Carly Fiorina. Mm-hmm. Very successful executive. I think at one time was maybe at Yahoo. She was one of the big...
Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. I knew she was one of the big boys out in California.
Big girls?
talking about the companies, but thanks. I'm not talking about her specifically. Well, I'm talking about the companies. Saying. You know, cars are female. Businesses are generally considered guys. You know, it's my cherry, my little cherry car over here. Anyways, and boats are always female as well. But Joy Behar made a comment about Carly Fiorini on The View. In the middle of all this Me Too stuff, in the middle of it all, she talked about how Carly Fiorini looked horrible on TV and looks like a horse because she has a very long face. And then, so I was doing local television here on The Edge with Morgan Fogarty and a couple others, and I made a side-swiping comment about Joy Behar, like basically saying, who is she to be criticizing a woman's looks, of all things, when she's supposed to be hardcore Democrat and hardcore women's rights and hardcore liberal, and she's doing exactly what she says she hates other people doing. And she did it on a TV show that millions upon millions of people are watching. And so I made a sideswipe at Joy Behar. I got suspended for my comment about Joy Behar.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is all around us. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, when I found out I was pregnant and serving in the General Assembly, there was a female, a local politician, not a legislator, former local politician who said, well, you need to resign. You can't be pregnant and serve. You cannot do this. And that shows that you are too ambitious. And then when I would see my male counterparts who were dads, oh, they're such a great, loving father. They're so dedicated. Oh, Trisha Cotham, she's ambitious and career-driven. Like, that's a bad thing.
Right.
But it's an unfair label. It's definitely a double standard. And that's unfortunate. So here's to all the bad you-know-what women out there who support other women. Keep doing it. And the mean girls, go somewhere.
Oh, I had a joke there.
Don't. Let me have my moment.
There's nothing that it won't end up well for me. I promise you if I say the joke. In the meantime, let's see if it's ending up well for everyone trying to get home right now with Bill Jones. B&T, Brett and Trisha on WBT. News Talk 1110, 99.3 FM. A few more minutes, taking you up till 6 o'clock. And then we got the Carolina Panthers coaches show with Ron Rivera coming on tonight. Panther Talk coming on at 6 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock, making his debut, the Roy Williams coaches show coming on at 7 o'clock. As we are your home for all things Tar Heels and Carolina Panthers here at WBT.
It's always a great day to be a Tar Heel.
If you say so. It's not a great day to be the CEO of McDonald's.
Yeah, ouch.
Board voted to remove the CEO, Steve Easterbrook, on yesterday after citing, quote, poor judgment involving a recent consensual, at least I mean it was consensual, a recent consensual relationship with an employee. An employee. So he has had to step down, or I should say has been voted out. Now, Easterbrook is divorced, so it's not like a Jeff Bezos situation of Amazon where he's screwing around on his wife. It's a fact. He did. Did he not? Did I say something inaccurate? Is that why he had to pay up $33.3 billion? Did I say something inaccurate, Trisha?
You just used some language.
We're all adults here. It's not Sesame Street.
I don't know. You'll never know who's listening.
Yeah, well, you know. You hear much worse on TV. Even like Big Bang Theory, you hear worse than that.
Don't know what that is.
Oh, don't I see that? I want to go down that rabbit hole now.
Get back to McDonald's. Now we're all craving French fries.
Which I had some today, by the way.
Of course.
Because, you know, I went by Popeyes, and there were literally 28 cars in line and 36 people inside in line.
How many employees?
Oh, and I'm talking about cars trying to get through the drive.
How many people working?
Oh, I didn't look at that because I just turned around immediately.
You didn't see him.
No. Well, you know what happened? Last time I did that, when it was out in August, they had like three people there. I'm like, how do you have like four people in all of this when you know there's 18 people in line? And I waited 45 minutes in the drive-thru.
And I'm sure they were smiling, happy to see you.
I just like, dude, I just want one chicken sandwich. That's all I want. Just give me one. I don't want to. I don't need drinks. I don't need anything. Just get me a chicken sandwich. That's all I want. But anyway, so Easterbrook, this former CEO of McDonald's, said, "Hey, look, it was a very consensual relationship, but it was a mistake." And he said he agreed with the board that it is time for him to move on. And he's asked the media, "Please respect my privacy." He's British. He joined McDonald's in 1993, and he's been the CEO since 2015. So, Easterbrook, out. But let a little listen to that congresswoman. This is what happens when you start screwing around with an employee.
Yeah, it's just usually never a real good idea.
So she can't exactly say there's a double standard.
Well, he shouldn't have done that.
Right. Right. But, by the way, shares of McDonald's were down $2.76 today, or on Friday. And even though the rest of the stock market is exploding, all kinds of records set. I mean, the S&P 500 is at 3,078. It was up 11 points today. The Dow is up another 114. It's at 27,462. It is exploding. The NASDAQ is over 8,400. I mean, this is big, big time. And every time these stock markets keep going up, because even though those crazy Democrats are going, "Oh my God, Donald Trump's ruined the economy over this trade war. Oh my God, it only took him 1 month to ruin the economy." Every day, your 401k thanks you for Donald Trump. Every day. You may hate him, but every day your 401k thanks him.
Let's see how that works out.
If it lasts 11 more months,
that's
or excuse
the,
me, exactly.
The key.
If it lasts 12 more months.
That's a big deal.
Even if it's just a small recession, you can handle that. Employment's at an all-time low, 3.6%, 50-year low. More African-Americans are employed than ever before. More women are employed than ever before. It's the lowest unemployment for Hispanics in history in America. In history. If it can survive 12 months, 12 months to the day, if I'm not mistaken, or 12 months, then it's going to be hard for the socialist type, Elizabeth Warren or Bernie or whatever, to defeat Donald Trump.
People vote their paycheck and their safety. A lot of national polls out today that were released show the big swing states in the country, and North Carolina was one of the few that had Trump up plus two, whereas other swing states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, had Biden winning. Some had Elizabeth Warren. It just kind of depended on the geography. But North Carolina will definitely be a state in play, and we will see that go all the way down low ballot. So, and you know, the election is 1 year away. Mm-hmm. We have an election tomorrow, so make your plan to vote in Mecklenburg County, people. But in 1 year, we have the 2020 election, and it was just released that the legislature is looking at congressional maps tomorrow for redistricting. So we will have likely all new congressional seats. I know Dan Bishop, Congressman Bishop, was on earlier this morning talking about that with Governor McCrory and Bo Thompson. And, you know, what's going to happen to the 9th District? What's going to happen to the 12th District? There could be lots of changes. So exciting times for political people like myself. This is like our Super Bowl, you know, because the Cowboys aren't in it. So it's like our Super Bowl that keeps on going for the year.
Speaking of safety, a 15-year-old boy in Chicago has been charged with first-degree attempted murder and 2 counts of aggravated battery on the Halloween night shooting of a 7-year-old girl dressed as a bumblebee while trick-or-treating with her father, and the bullets struck her in the neck and the chest, and right now she's in critical condition. But, I mean, that pretty much, that one sentence pretty much sums up Chicago. I mean, it really does. I mean, that one sentence, a 15-year-old boy charged with first-degree attempted murder of a 7-year-old girl trick-or-treating with her father while dressed up as a bumblebee. I mean, between the worst weather in the country, the most corrupt politicians in the country for well over a century, and the highest violent crime rate in the country. Where do I sign up for that?
Don't they have, like, really good hot dogs and pizza?
Well, the pizza's pretty decent.
And aren't they known for some of that?
I mean, that and the Cubs, but that's about
the
it.
The who?
Chicago Cubs. That's right.
Cool.
Yeah, where do I sign up for that? How? There's a reason why over 100 people, I think, every day leave Chicago. Every day.
And move here.
Or just move it somewhere outside.
Welcome to North Carolina.
Because they don't want to get shot at. The weather sucks,
well,
and the politicians suck.
Look at our murder rate here. We're not doing that great.
Yeah, but you're not well over 600-700.
True, but we're getting up there.
All right, tomorrow we're back at it on Election Day.
Go vote.
B&T, Brett and Tricia here on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.